This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Worldwide, 2 billion people are still not connected to the internet, creating a digital divide that is hampering development in the world's least developed countries, or LDCs. In order to bridge that gap, the UN agreed in 2011 to set up a new UN body, the Technology Bank, which opened for business in Gebze, Turkey, last year. When Joshua Satipa, executive director of the UN Technology Bank, came into the UN News studios, he explained why it's in the interests of all nations to lend their support.
Members of the United Nations committed to not leaving anyone behind. So already from that perspective, you need technology and innovation which is cross-cutting, whether you're talking about addressing access to clean water and sanitation, addressing energy requirements, you need technology across the board. So you cannot achieve any of the single SDGs unless there's full exploitation and utilization of technology that is available today and innovation that is available in the market today. It is also a reality that when the least developed countries, when every developing country progresses economically, when its economic growth is strong, it creates a very good platform for a mutual economic relationship with the rest of the world. Capacity to buy and import from their trading partners, but also capacity to develop and export. So it's a mutual beneficial relationship on the demand side, also on the supply side. So developed countries have a direct stake in supporting the socioeconomic development of the least developed countries.
Would it also be true to say that by enabling talent from least developing countries to participate in this global digital society, that it can enhance the society for all, in the sense you're bringing in different viewpoints from different cultures that aren't currently being represented?
That is absolutely correct. And also, there's one fact of life that we should always remember, is that there is not a single country on this planet that has a monopoly on intellect. The only difference is that in some societies, you have an environment that enables the emergence and also the development of that capacity. So take, for example, a child in a developed country like South Korea or Japan gets exposed to technology from the minute he can start to recognize objects. That means that that child, by the time he gets to school, gets to make decisions about career, he's already exposed to quite a considerable level of innovation. Imagine if you could also do that to a kid in Lesotho, for example, or in Niger or somewhere in the developing world. That would mean that you unleash so much potential for innovation, for economic development, for all aspects of society that at the end of the day contributes towards the improvement of the quality of life in these communities.
Now, you're right at the beginning of this adventure. You've described it as a startup. Do you have any benchmarks for what you would consider to be success?
Our only benchmark is transformation. Today, country X says our priority is addressing our food security needs. And we're able to say to them, we have identified a partner that we will work with to come and give you innovation that will help you improve your productivity, your yield in the crops you grow. For example, if you're a rice growing country, we'll give you new strains of rice that are drought resistant, that have more productive yield. You have addressed your food security. If you're a country that has a high water deficit and we bring you technology that says we'll help you identify and map your water resources, and this will help you avoid the countries today where you've got tensions within society or communities fighting over scarce water resources because they do not have a very complete picture of where actually there's water underground in that country. But we have access to technology and satellite technology that can help us identify that capacity. If you are able to put that at the disposal of the country, it means when they know where the water resources are, they're able to move communities, make sure that they address the tension, and be able to support those communities. So it's solutions like that that are transformational that we will use to benchmark our interventions.
The big internet companies are going through transformations themselves right now. There's talk about regulation, about breaking them up, because there's fears that their powers have been too great. And when we look at initiatives that have already taken place in developing countries, there have been criticisms about this. For example, access which is limited, or trying to tie countries to certain types of software. Are you comfortable that you can avoid these kind of pitfalls going forward?
The starting point, and which is where we're already working on the ground in the countries that we have programs now, is to undertake, as a start, a diagnostic of the situation in a country, both from the regulatory policy framework to the infrastructure needs, so that we can be able to see what is the policy framework like, what are the gaps in the policy framework that encourage and support innovation, that encourage and support transfer of technology, but that also protects the social aspects. Because yes, technology is good, and technology supports and has driven the economic growth that we've seen over the recent years. But they are also, like everything in life, there's an aspect to that that also can undermine some of that progress. So there has to be a very good balance in legislation, in policy, that respects and protects those things, whether it's from an environmental perspective or whether it's managing technology. We've seen cases where technology and innovation is used to perpetuate sexual violence, for example. Those are definitely not constructive. Those undermine progress towards creating societies that are sensitive to gender-based violence, in this case, or that are sensitive to cultural norms that are very central to any society and its development. So we will work with countries and using existing and drawing from existing experience and drawing from existing global multilateral conventions that are already in place to help countries mainstream and use those instruments to reinforce their policy framework and legislative framework.
Have you identified any particular country or countries that you think, with just a bit of help from your organization, could really make great strides in breaching the digital divide?
I would say all the countries that we are looking to help or that we are working with have that potential. But remember also that even within the LDCs, not all LDCs are equal. You've got LDC, at least developed countries today, that have launched satellites into space. You've got least developed countries that are still struggling with the most basic requirement of science, technology, innovation, which is connectivity. So each country has its own peculiar set of requirements and peculiar situation that we need to factor in when we engage and design programs to support them. And because sustainability is important, the priority sectors has to be identified by the countries themselves. One country will identify ICT. One country will identify climate change as the biggest challenge it faces towards achieving the MDGs, the SDGs. So it depends on a case by case. We do not have a one size fit all approach, and I think that would undermine our potential to be a very effective and strong partner if we were to approach it that way.
And last question. 2 billion people not connected to the internet. Are you confident that with the work you're doing, you can get most or many of them online?
We are very confident that we can make a meaningful contribution towards addressing that digital divide. We also believe that given the convening power of the United Nations, we have the platform, we have the network of partners that, together with the private sector, we can be able to provide the solutions. We are working on connectivity, for example. We'll start working on connectivity with the ITU. We will be able to mobilize, and a lot of effort and work is already taking place on STIs. Let me restate that. But what we want to do is bring more additional focus on the situation of the least developed countries to say, yes, there's a global initiatives that we have to be part of, that we have to be mindful of and make sure that we do not disrupt, but we're actually contributing to. But we just want an additional focus on the least developed countries because they are in a peculiar situation. And by doing that, we will be able to bring into the table a different angle to the discussions and the work that is being done today. You've got the technology facilitation mechanism, which is a very important platform, which we are part of, and which are participating in its work. We will be participating in that and making the case for focus on the least developed countries.